But we're going to bounce the ball with Simon Amadeus Miller.
RSN 927's Racing Pulse with Matthew Stewart.
I've always wondered what the A stood for. Can you solve that little riddle for us, Simon?
Well, I told Gareth once it was Archibald, and he ran with it for about 2 years in every media outlet, and then I had to tell him it was Andrew.
When you said that, I thought Andrew will be about a 6-4 chance here. So Amadeus didn't get a run from the Miller parents, like I thought.
No, I'll give that a run next one. Actually, I didn't mind it.
So no,
happy to give it a spin.
Yeah, give it a spin. Hey, you're giving Amelia's Jewel a spin from barrier one in the Northerly on Saturday, and I know I'm a glass half empty, and I'm always funny about barrier one and that, but shortest route home, I guess, is going to be your answer.
Yeah, shortest way home's the fence. So at least we'll get an economical run, and if the luck comes our way, we'll be ready to pounce. She's got a quick enough turn of foot to take a gap if it happens to appear late and push through. I suppose she's got a really good turn of foot, and more so with only 50 kilos on her back. Probably she should sprint a bit quicker, but you need luck from any barrier. Like we drew wide last week in the winter bottom, and the fence was off and they were coming down the middle, and I thought, well, this will work out perfect. She'll balance up and hit the line, and we were five, six wide midfield where I didn't envisage we were. So you just need luck anyway, but I'm happy with one because it takes the speed maps out of the equation. You can just ride her to where she's comfortable.
16-horse field, is it still a bit of a heart-in-mouth situation? I mean, they can race tight over there, and the way she races, I imagine when they turn for home, unless she gets those gaps through, you know, in those middle stages, she's going to be looking for, Carberry's going to be looking for gaps. Is it, put it this way, if you could have chosen your barrier, what would you have chosen?
I wanted single figures, and I suppose everyone likes those 3, 4, 5s where you can keep one off and then sort of be forward enough if required, but it'll be all right. We'll just, they'll go along. Everyone says there's no speed, but there's $1.5 million up for grabs, and the Perth jockeys will get excited and there'll be good temper.
And the other thing too is, as she advances and gets more mature and race smart, and she steps up to 1,800 metres, and everyone's saying, "Oh, there's no speed." Is it inconceivable that Amelia's Jewel might be a little bit more positive and not as far back as people like me are fearing?
Yeah, could Maddie. First up this time in, she box seated, or she was three back for a little bit when she drew one, then took a split and launched late. We can ride her closer. It's just, predominantly, she's always drawn wide, so we've just had to drift back and let her find her feet. So from one with no weight, if there is no speed, then she can be definitely a lot closer.
You're so relaxed about this filly. There's nothing that seems to bother you about anything that comes her way. Cascadian, now she's taking on a few of the serious old street smart warriors, and Cascadian's probably the best example of that, and he's drawn to get a clear crack at him. How do you get your head around this next big step that she has to take on the weekend?
It's definitely another challenge, and when she's got to rise to the occasion again. I mean, as you alluded to, you know, these old wily horses, they're tough, they're resilient, they're used to that pressure for the last two or three seasons, and then he's raced at the elite level. He's definitely the one to beat, and then you've got J-Mac on board. A lot of positives for that. Also, 1,800 he likes. So he's no doubt he's the one to beat, and she'll rise to the occasion. She's pretty good, and she's done everything right behind the scenes, and she's won the guineas, and she's come through that in good order. So now there's another challenge, but I'm sure she'll be up for it, and she'll run really well.
There's only two interstaters, Cascadian for the Maestro, as he likes to be called, and self-dubbed Maestro, which we're going with, and Steinem from the Mar Eustace stable. She's one of those mares who's probably just started to find a bit of form. She ran second in the Matriarch. The rest of them are locals. Are you fairly comfortable you've got the locals, you got the better of them?
Probably the one that is a little bit of a...
And Ironclad's the other one, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, yes. The one I'm probably got a little question mark on is Tricks in the Trade. Like, he did win the railway in pretty good fashion. And he's a horse that is continuing to thrive and race at that level. So I know he meets a lot of them, you know, bad off at the weights with the weight for age scale, but see, all he can do is win and win well, and he did that in the railway. So he's probably one of the local ones I'd be just keeping a close eye on. So I think Cascadian's definitely the one to beat, and the market's gravitated that way as well.
What's the vibe in the West with Amelia's Jewel at the moment, especially with the East versus West scenario on Saturday? Is there a bit of nice local parochialism and good vibes kicking in with Amelia's Jewel?
Yeah, there's a lot of love over here for her, I think, because apart from only once when she's got rolled, she hasn't let the punters down, and they've all been able to back her with confidence or run her through multis, and she's delivered. So she's always... We've hyped her up from the get-go, and she's delivered, but I suppose the reason why everyone's in love with her is because she can get into tricky situations, and in a blink of an eye, she's not only got out of that situation, but she's put the race to pay. She's just got the most explosive turn of foot, and to boot, she's got the best brain. And you saw in the Guineas, they backed off the speed, and she was getting bumped around everywhere, and it was a little bit of a roughhouse, but she just got in her own little bubble and got into a rhythm and just sort of phased everything out and then quickened up when she had to, so... I suppose that's why everyone loves watching her go around.
You know the last mare who was the great escape artist, don't you, who looked in trouble and then put him to bed? Ended in inks.
I didn't know where that was going. I could have referred to me.
No, it could have been anything there. No, I had to narrow it down to talk about Winks. So as soon as please, let's get back on track, Simon. So when you said she always looks in trouble and gets out and puts it to bed in two strides, that was the hallmark of Winks, but we're not going to make any comparisons at all. That would be deadly. So you're feeling pretty relaxed.
Yeah, we've had a really good prep, and we've trained her differently for this, and as in, like last time in, I trained her as a sprinter. This time in, I've trained her as a miler plus to get out to this trip, and she's thriving. She looks really good. She's bright and alert. So, and once we get through Saturday, then we'll have to come up with our next plan of attack, and whether that be like an all-star mile or keep her here for a quokka, I'm not sure. We'll just get through Saturday first, and then come up with our next move.
Yeah, it's almost like the quokka was created with Amelia's Jewel in mind to keep her in the West. Is that what's the date of the quokka, do you know?
2 weeks after the TJ, so it just gives them a chance to get over here as well. So it's April 24th or something, middle of April.
Do you get a chance to take a breather in between? If you say you bowl around on Saturday, of course, and that'll be four runs over in reasonably short period of time, and then suddenly the new year kicks in, and then it's game on again and building up to the All-Star Mile, you'd get a nice little freshen-up period in between, I would imagine.
The horse does. I don't. I've got an abundant amount of two-year-olds coming through that I just want to get a handle on and see where they all slot into the system. So, you turn your attention to them, and they're always good fun. I love them. So I'm taking a heap to Belmont on Saturday to have their first proper gallop over 400, and there's a few there that have already shown that they look like they're all right, so we'll be switch from the big races, we'll switch to the juveniles and start picking our way through them.
But Amelia's Jewel, if you were to set her for an all-star mile, you'd be able to sort of get a little freshen up in between this campaign and go again for a summer autumn in Melbourne?
Yeah, you'd be able to, yep. I mean, she's only had, this will be her fourth run in, and we haven't overtaxed her, but yeah, it's definitely an option. So the only, to be fair, the only option, well, Peter Walsh, he never puts any restraints on me, but he just said there's only one race I want to have a go at, and that's 12 months away. So he said you can work backwards from there and just do whatever you like. So,
is that the Cox Plate?
No, he wanted to go the Golden Eagle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you never know where we end up. Like, if I trained for sprint distance,
Michael Brow, the CEO of Mini Valley, is listening. He's just fainted, but anyway.
Yeah, no, the All-Star Moles at the Valley, I believe.
Yep, I think so, because Caulfield's out of whack. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You got any other winners for us at Ascot on Saturday while we've got you?
I've got Safira. She's going really well. She's just had no luck both runs this time in. I think you can play her. She's drawn wide, and I don't think that's a bad thing because she won't find trouble. She'll just sort of cruise across on her own accord, so they'll probably let you on. I think she'll probably be around $4 or $5. I think she's a play.
Beautiful. Hey, just curious about crowds over there and crowds everywhere. We had a cricket game at the MCG a few weeks ago, which was England-Australia, and no one turned up. And I'm looking at the cricket over there, and there's a big test match on, and there's an echo through the stadium. I don't know whether you've been going, but the racetracks had a... everywhere's having a downturn in on-course attendances. What have the crowds been like for the Railway and Winterbottom and the expectation for Saturday?
Crowds have been really good, right. I must admit. I mean, the cricket yesterday, there was no one there. You could swing a cat, but I think that's just cricket in general at the moment. Everyone's off them. But our crowds have been solid, and we've been competing with a couple of events outside of racing on the same days, and we've still had good, strong numbers. There's a good vibe around over here, so with the money increase and the Eastern Staters coming back, which they haven't been allowed to for a while. Maybe that's drawn the crowds back as well, but our must admit, we've been pretty solid over here, and there's been a good vibe on race day, and they've got the bands going in between races, which I think is a good thing, create the atmosphere and get it going. But the weather's been calm. We haven't had a real hot, proper summer yet, so the interstaters have had it easy.
Is it affordable? I'm trying to work out the reason why it's hard to get them to some and some go to the others. Is it an affordable day out over there?
It's expensive. Like, you still buy, you know, you buy a drink and it's between $10 and $13. So if you're a young uni student or something, you know, you want to be winning on the punt to fund the day. So I suppose from that aspect, that may make people only, you know, which way do I go? Do I go a Railway or a Winterbottom? You know, instead of doing both.
Yep.
There's no doubt the price. The price of alcohol is on the rise, and everyone's clipping a ticket while the carnival's on. But you know, maybe they could reduce it that way. But then you're trimming up the fat. So I don't know. There's smarter people than me out there. But I try and drink the free stuff in the winners' room.
No, I know you get a red carpet treatment every time. I was watching the Launceston night meeting last night, and There was no one there. One individual stood out, the winning trainer of the Newmarket. But is that the haircut of this? I know that you watch everything, and I know that you would have watched it, and I know exactly you're a people spotter like I am. He's doing well, Brunton, isn't he, with the mohawk?
Yeah, he's pulled it off really well. He's even trimmed it up and got it standing out more on top there. So it was a dirty haircut.
You know, if they took his height from the top of the mohawk, he's 6'7".
It was a beauty. I couldn't pull it off. No, I wouldn't be brave enough either.
No, he's a real standout. And what a great job he did with the Inevitable last night. Hey, good on you, mate. You're the only person who's not sort of nervously anticipating Amelia's Jewel. You seem pretty laid back about it. I'm nervous on your behalf.
Oh, thanks. I'm sure Kelly Kinnamon, that runs my operations, she rides every bump and she feels the nerves, but the only race I really wanted to win was the Karakata for Peter Walsh, and that was probably when I put pressure on myself when we got it. And from here on in, I've just been a fan on race day and just enjoyed watching the go around.
Yeah, and everyone, it's the number one must watch on the weekend for every racing fan, and it's 4:45 your time, which is 7:45 our time, and we're all going to be watching and cheering for you and Amelia's, mate.
Thanks, Matt. Nice to be on, and hope everyone has a good weekend and punts well.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll do our best. Good on you, Simon.
Thanks, mate.
Simon Miller, he's a real character, and he's got an absolute superstar. And when you...